Okay, guys, so today we're doing one of the topics on the Word On series. And just to recap what we've covered so far, Pastor Awesome Mark has taken us through the Word On God, the Word On Evolution. Sister Tabile has took us through the Word of Humanity. And this week I'm going to take you through the Word On Warfare. So at your tables, can anybody give me a show of hands who's been through a spiritual attack? Okay, one at the back. I see two. Do I get a third? Okay. No? Okay. So, who knows this guy? Who's that guy? So, for the rest of us people, it's Iron Man. Okay? And when we, then I, you know, especially in this movie, when you look at Iron Man, he's getting defeated. He falls down. He breaks down. You know, he can't get up. And then he gets up and he's like, I can do it. And today, it's similar what we're going to talk about. You know, spiritual warfare is where you feel like you've been attacked by the enemy. And we just want to know if there's anybody here who's going through a hard time, who needs breakthrough. Anybody that needs breakthrough? Maybe you don't understand what breakthrough is. Maybe you don't understand what spiritual warfare is. So today we're going to break it down for you. We're going to explain to you how Satan uses different weapons to attack you. And it's not about, you know, things that happen in the natural. It's all about what happens in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. And that's what we're going to cover today. Okay. So first we're going to start with what is spiritual warfare. And as we go through, we're just going to discuss, I'm just going to read out different scriptures that cover the topic of spiritual warfare. John 8, verse 44. Yeah, don't be scared. God is greater than the devil. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. There is no truth in him. Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So, what is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is defeating the enemy's lies that he sends our way, okay? And what we're going to do now is discuss what lies, how he attacks you, okay? Some of it, maybe you don't even realize that you're going through spiritual warfare. Maybe you just thought, you know, it's just something you're feeling, you know, a friend just hurt you. But today we want to open your eyes. We want those scales to fall off. We want you to be able to have a spirit of discernment, to be able to understand that this is what I'm going through and that I can ask God for help. So spiritual warfare is broken down into two categories, offensive and defensive. Anyone watch those like sports movies in America? Offense, offense, you know. So we're going to discuss both of them. Offense is tearing down strongholds that have formed in your mind through deception and accusations. The scripture reading that for this is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 15. We demolish arguments and every pretentious pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And you know, as I said in first service, it's like anything that is not of God. If you feel that God, nobody loves you, if God doesn't love you, if you don't have a plan for your life, a purpose, if you feel like you're going nowhere, you know, going nowhere slowly, you know, there was a, you know, a series like that. We take captive those thoughts because those thoughts are not of God. God doesn't say in his word that he doesn't have a plan for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, Shaila, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Or as some translations say, an expected end. And we need to realize that those thoughts that are not of him, we need to put captive, throw them out of our minds. Defensive warfare, guarding yourself against the tactics of or schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6 verse 16, take up the shield of faith so you can extinguish all the flaming arrows the evil one throws at you. Like similarly on Friday night, we all play dodgeball. You dodge the ball. You dodge the ball. You don't want to be hit by the ball. And today we're going to show you how you can see, that's it, let's move away, let's protect ourselves. Okay. You're looking at me like a crazy person. Okay. This is not relatable. Okay, nobody played three tins in the room. Three tins? Shumpu? Nothing? Okay, all right. I grew up in a different era. So now we're going to discuss the different weapons Satan uses. Weapon number one, deception. Deception is to deceive somebody. To deceive somebody is to make them believe a lie or untruth. To build strongholds, to build when deception takes hold in a person's mind. Wrong thinking or patterns created as we believe lies. So what can you say is a deception? When Satan came into the Garden of Eden and said to Eve, eat the fruit. You won't die. What's this? God won't kill you. You will know all things. There's no harm. You know? Let's bring it into our reality. God doesn't love you. How can he love just you? You think he loves you? Your parents don't care about you. They're disciplining you because they don't love you. It's not because they love you. That is deception. That is a weapon that Satan uses to separate you from the love of God, to separate you from your walk in Christ. And today we're going to break those strongholds in your mind. Maybe you feel that you're not good enough. I know sometimes being a mom, you feel overwhelmed. There's a lot going on, you know? You can't protect your kid from all the harm that the world has. So you feel like you're a bad mom. Maybe if God gave these children to someone else, they'd be better. That's something I struggle with, you know? I'm a working mom. I'm not good enough. I should stay at home with the kids. You know, that's like a deception for me. And God could, you know, Satan could be deceiving you in certain ways in your mind. And you didn't even realize that it was Satan attacking you. Don't get it twisted. We are all in spiritual warfare. It's just, are you aware that you're in a battle? The second weapon is temptation. Satan is the number one temptress. You know? It's not only the ladies that are temptress. Satan is the temptress. He's the chief one. Temptation. Look how Eve is looking at that fruit. Doesn't look tasty. Don't you just want to bite it? Tell the truth. When I look at it, I just, I see it as a peach. Maybe you see it as an apple. You know that peach? Not those drought peaches. Those, you know, when it's been raining, you just bite. Nyana, the juices just fall. You know? Can you imagine? Satan saying, just look at it. So shiny. Yeah? You see that your mother didn't recognize that you never gave her the 50 rand back. You know, she gave you 100 rand. She said, use 50 rand, give me my change. You're like, 2 days have gone by. She hasn't asked for the money. Don't think she needs it. So she went to Woolworths. She doesn't need Woolworths. New shoes. I can use it. Hey, plus my data just got finished. I'm sure, I can just use it to get, I can't even get 55 rand, but I can use it to get, you know, a bundle of something. Huh? That's temptation. Satan even tempted Jesus. He said to him, just look at these rocks, yeah. I mean, you're hungry, you've been fasting 40 days. I mean, who does that? 40 days, no food. I mean, I know Micah, 1 weekend, no pizza. It's hectic, you know. 40 days, just say something. You are the Son of God. Just make a motion. Yeah? Turn these stones into food. Then, you know what, some braai, shisanyama, some chakalaka there, garlic bread, what else we eat? Krispy Kremes, Starbucks coffee, you know? Make a lavish dish for yourself. But God knew the word. What did he say back? He's like, what's the scripture? How do I do this to myself? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we don't just live on food. We live on the Bible. We live on the word of God. So you need to have it in your heart, what God has said. according to that situation you're in. And let's be realistic. Sometimes temptations happen at school, happen in relationships. Let's be honest. Maybe your girlfriend's saying, if you love me, you'll sleep with me. Oh, girls don't say such. No. Okay. But did you, if I say it this way, you'll agree. If the boyfriend says, yo! Huh? Our boys, don't you also get tempted? Don't the ladies also tempt you? Don't they blow kisses? Yeah? Huh? You don't. You don't just muddle by. You're knowing they're on the corner, so you just stop to send a PCM and act like you're on the phone. But honestly, guys, God tempts, you know, Satan tempts us. He said, and in today's day and age, there's temptation in the music, there's temptation in the videos, on these games that we play. Everything seems okay. It's okay to sleep around. Why wait for marriage? What's that? These days, people don't get married. They just live together. But those are not foundations of the Word of God. That's not a biblical base. And you must be able to resist that temptation. But today we want God to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you'll be able to see these entrapments, these things that look so glossy and fabulous. You know, everybody's seeing their bottle of Moe, you must go to the club, you know, looking so awesome, welcome to church, it's better to be in the club. It's not of God. See, imagine with me for a second. We are all Nemo in the ocean, floating away. And then we see a worm. Ooh, let's eat the worm. I'm hungry. But then the Holy Spirit says, no, Debbie, don't eat the worm. Why? Because there's a hook. You take that hook, it's going to be on the side of your mouth. It's going to pull you. You'll be taken out. That's what the Holy Spirit does, to show you the entrapment that's behind that thing that looks so lavish, that looks so nice, that girl that you couldn't resist, that boy that told you he loves you. But we're not fighting with the people. We're fighting on the spiritual realm. We must realize that Satan's also fooling that person that they think it's right. God wants you to have a better life. Not that you can't say you're going to have a life free of temptation, but be able to resist the devil so that he can flee. Scripture reading. Psalms 119 verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you're not spending time understanding who God is, spending time devotion in worship, wasn't the worship awesome today? It was like, whoa, blow me away. You know, like, if you're not spending time in God, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's going to say, Micah, no, don't do it. Don't take that money. It's not God, it's not my plan for you to have sex before marriage. But you know what? He's a gentle spirit. He's not going to force you to do it. He's not going to say, hey, I told you. He's going to warn you gently. But if you don't listen to him, he's not going to pull you by the ankles and send you back home. When the guy's offering you a cigarette and you're picking it up, when you take the puff, he's not going to blow out the cigarette. He gives you choice. And today we want to equip you on how to overcome, for you to recognize what these things are. One day when you stand in front of God, you want to be able to say, Jesus, I stood for you. So maybe you're listening to me and you're saying, hey, Jen, you know what? I've already done these things. I've already done it. I'm trying to bring my life right, but what's the point? Guess what? That's another weapon. It's called accusation. Yeah, you needing a small group, we have small group discussion. You stop putting your 2 cents worth. You know you've been holding back, shy, knowing what you've done. You've asked God for forgiveness, but you still feel the guilt. Satan saying, hey, I know you. I was there when you took that 50 rand, when you took that cigarette. I was there when you were reading 50 Shades of Grey, Blue or Purple. How can you now come and say, I'm a child of God? Satan uses guilt as a wall from you to stepping into a relationship with him, from you to testify to others about what's going on, for you to stop bringing other people, you know, with you on your journey to Christ. You know, he brings condemnation. He brings shame. You know, on last week, Friday, we had Lead the Cause at Rosebank Union, the leaders. And one of the ladies, actually a few ladies, were saying how guilty they felt for the different things that they've done. And that even though they've asked God for forgiveness, they feel guilt. But that's not of God. God doesn't want you to walk around with this heavy burden of shame and guilt. God wants to set you free. He hates sin. Don't get it twisted. He hates sin, but he loves you. And he doesn't want to see you go to a lost eternity. Let's be honest, guys. There is heaven and there is hell. And today we want to get you to get set free. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God, you know, Satan uses guilt to keep you away from that testimony, to share with others, to say, hey, guys, I'm not perfect, but by God's grace, I'm here. I also went through being a teenager. Yes, I know, shocking, shocking stuff. But I can say to you, honestly, it's only by God's grace that I'm standing here. If you knew me then, huh? You say, hey, bro, what you doing here? I bet you the people on Facebook, if they were, you know, strong enough to comment, they'll say, hey, Pastor Mark, remove her. I know her, what she did, what the person she was. But God is here to set you free, to remind you he loves you, he forgives you. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to ask adult leaders to join the groups. And we're going to do an exercise. Now, who feels they now understand what a spiritual attack is? And in your groups, you're going to discuss what is a spiritual attack, when were you and how were you under attack, and we're going to speak about what scriptures you can use. Because we use the peace of God and we use scriptures to attack Satan. We say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's scriptures. That's the only way you're going to get through it. Is if you Bible base your prayer. Okay, so let's get into it. So I'm so encouraged by the conversation that's happening, and it's really hard to break up this conversation moments, but we have to move on. And we're just going to take you through, are going to take you through the prayer method, just to help you pray. So you face, you know, you're not in this forum where you're going through a difficult time and you're not at church or you're not at youth or you don't have any data to reach out to somebody to help you. This is will help you pray by using each letter of the word as a tool. Yeah. So first, P stands for praise. And we're using the Our Father prayer as the backdrop to this method. And in the Our Father prayer, it starts off and says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's what praise is. It's about putting God first. It's about putting your needs last. It's about, you know, just praising Him because He's worthy. You can say, Lord, You are good and Your mercies endure forever. You are good. Your faithfulness is till the end of time. Lord, You are the sweet rose of Sharon. That's my favorite line. Like when I run out of things to say, there are three things I always say. You are the sweet rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. So, you know, if I forgot, you know, you can use the scripture, you can use other references in the Bible. Then you request, and in accordance to the scripture, you say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day, give us this day our daily bread. So it's not that your request is only for yourself. Your request is that the bigger mission happens, that God comes down, that, you know, we feel His anointing, we feel His presence, that, you know, His name be glorified. And then you can also add in your request, Lord, help me through this week. I'm really struggling in my heart with forgiveness. Or, Lord, I feel overwhelmed. You know, exams are coming up. There's lots of tests. I don't know how to study. I don't know what to do. Can You help me? You know, I would pray that the Lord changes the ink on the paper, because, you know, to make it the F and A. But that's not the right thing. You must also study, yeah? Okay. Admit. So we say, sorry, I'm just getting my notes. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So we confess our sins. You're like, Lord Jesus, this week I hurt Debbie with my words. It wasn't intentional, but I did it. Can You please forgive me? And in the same way, You forgive those that have hurt You. Lord Jesus, Pastor Mark didn't bring coffee this morning to youth. Please forgive him and remind him next time to bring extra for me. You know, but for, I'm making light situations, but you can't expect God to forgive you if you can't forgive others. It doesn't work that way. Unforgiveness is not of God. Freely you receive, freely you give. So you forgive others. Then on the why, I was saying to Pastor Mark this morning, what does yield mean? But it's also like submitting to God. But in, you know, S doesn't fit in prayer, why does? So we yield. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, we still make it about God. We yield to the Holy Spirit, as we spoke about earlier. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gentle voice. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force or bully you into something. So you stand there and you say, Lord, I've admitted, I've praised You, I've requested, I've asked for Your kingdom to come, Your will be done. I've asked You to forgive my sins and for me to help me to forgive the sins of others. But Lord, in this moment, help me recognize that You are God. Lord, let me hear what You're saying. Debbie has the strange habit that we'll be in a restaurant in a public place and she'll just look at me in my eyes like this and she'll say, Lord, what are You saying to us right now? I'm like, wow. You know, you just call God down no matter where you are. That's what yielding is. It's like, Lord, what are You saying for this week? What do I need to do? How can I best represent You in my life? And there you've done the prayer. Not so hard. There's different, if you don't find this one easy, there's different ways you can do it. But I find this quite simple. Everybody, what does the P stand for? If you don't look at the screen. R. A. Why? Yield. Why, Debbie, why? Okay. And right now, I'm just going to ask the adult leaders to come to the front. It was just something we felt, which is unscripted, that God wants to deliver you from whatever you're going through. We don't want you to leave the way you came. And this is a judgment-free zone, so you can come up for prayer. You don't necessarily have to say what's going on. But the more clarity you give, the more God can, you know, lift that, what burden you are facing. So if you're not coming up for prayer, just stay in the time of worship. Just keep praying. This is a serious moment. And, you know, don't feel shy. Don't feel ashamed. We all go through difficulties. Even as adults, as old as Pastor Mark is, you know, he still goes through difficult times. It's a long journey. It's like the comrades' marathon. You know, I'm sure they think, one more year till you get to the end. So I hope that you'll come up and, you know, ask God to deliver you from whatever you're going through. Leaders. So the leaders are here for you to come to the front if you need prayer. We will keep it open for a minute or two. If nobody feels that they need prayer, then we'll conclude the message and we'll all go home.
Guys, while they're still busy with ministry, we're going to just close in prayer and they can carry on. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for who you are, how that you come by your Spirit and you give us weapons and armor to help us stand against temptation. And we pray that today we would never forget this message, that we would bring your word into our mouths, into our hearts and lives, to stand against the works of the evil one, that we would overcome the enemy's lies and deceptions and accusations. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done this morning. May we see fruit from this in the coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Make sure you're here next week. Micah is going to be sharing on the Word on Media, and it's going to be a really, really awesome Sunday. So be here for sure. Okay. God bless.